I'm Andy Borowitz, in for Leonard Lopate. I've had such a great time talking to you this week. Internet bots are bits of code which run automated tasks online, often sending you spam links on social media. But they are becoming increasingly sophisticated and are even being used by some governments and major corporations to shape public opinion. Nick Bilton is a reporter for the New York Times and lead writer of the paper's Bits blog. Nick, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me on.
So this is kind of astounding stuff. This week you wrote in the Times about your experience buying 4,000 followers on Twitter for the price of a cup of coffee.
For the price of a fancy cup of coffee.
Okay, 4,000 followers. What was that experience like, and where'd you do it, and who were these followers?
So there's a lot of different places that you can do this online. There are places that are more expensive that have better bots. There are places that are less expensive that have kind of cheesy bots, and you know, there's everything in between. One of the places that I went to is a website called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. And what Fiverr is a website where you can literally buy anything for $5. you could go and buy a pillow for $5 or a cup of coffee or social media bots. And if you go on the website and you search for Twitter bots, you can, some people sell 500 for $5, some people sell 5,000, some even sell 10 or 20,000. I wouldn't go with the high numbers, but there's also other websites that sell more sophisticated bots. There's a company I spoke to, this guy who wouldn't actually tell me his real name because I think he's doing some illegalities, but he runs a company called Swenzy, and Swenzy has what they call a bot farm, which is a farm of bots. And so you can imagine thousands of lines of little computer code that are just chatting away, and he sells much more sophisticated bots, and so I experimented with that too.
Now, some of our listeners may not use Twitter, and so some of them may not know exactly what you're referring to when you talk about these Twitter bots, but they're pretty ubiquitous. Why don't you just walk us through what exactly a Twitter bot is, does, what it looks like, and why we even have them?
So a Twitter bot is essentially so bots have been around for a long, long time. Where they come from is you can think of them as like automation, right? We think of robots as these things that look like human beings and walk down the street, but when you think of bots in a social platform or in code, they're essentially lines of code that can execute things. So one example of a bot that people probably interact with is when you forget to pay your credit card on time, and your phone rings automatically, and it's a robot that answers and says, please hold for a representative, and the person then gets on the phone. So that's a bot that is executing a little line of code that says, call this number until someone answers, and then forward it through to a human being. And the way bots work in social media settings is they can you can imagine, let's just say, 100,000 little personalities that are on Twitter or Facebook or any other social platform that someone with a few lines of code can then control and say, hey, you know what, I want 10,000 of these to follow Andy Borowitz, and here's his Twitter account. In a second, they cycle through this little loop of code, and off they go, and they do that. And so what's really interesting and what I found fascinating with the reporting for my column was a couple of years ago, these bots were pretty stupid. Not to be disrespectful to robots, but they were capable of what they would do is they would follow you, but the scripts that these programmers used were very rudimentary, and so you could tell they were bots. So if you looked at a typical bot 2 years ago, what it looked like was it would usually have a picture of a very sultry looking girl as their icon. It would then have a weird name like, you know, Andy 729648, and then it would do is essentially tweet porn links. I mean, that's all they did. But today's bots, they use artificial intelligence, and so they actually have conversations with each other. They have conversations with other real human beings. They go to sleep at night. They wake up in the morning. And so it's really hard for these companies to find out who's a bot and who's a real person.
My wife, who's very very sweet and kind person, but not the most tech-savvy person in the world by her own definition. When she went on Twitter a few years ago and signed up for it, she said with some alarm, "For some reason, I'm being followed by all of these prostitutes." And it was just because every other person following her was a bot in a tube top. It is a little bit discouraging. People in the media especially are very invested in how many followers they have on Twitter. How many of these followers are even real people? I mean, if you look at your Twitter follower list, it's very discouraging to see how many of them look suspiciously like bots.
Well, it's funny. I'm on Twitter right now, and I'm looking at your followers. And you have 489,000. That's an impressive number. And I'm scrolling down, and the 10th one down is a bot, and the 12th one down is a bot.
This is devastating.
21st one. There's a lot of humans on there. Don't be too upset. Mm-hmm. But you can see these. You know, here's one. Vash 8806 it follows you and 20 other people. So this ways that you can tell if it's a bot. This is actually a really interesting way. So some of the bots will follow bigger accounts, Justin Bieber, Britney Spears, and of course Andy Borowitz.
Me, of course.
And,
yeah.
Because I like to lump those all in together. And they'll follow 20 accounts, and that's it. And they'll have names like Vash 8806, and they don't really do much else. And you can tell that those are some of your bots that are following you.
Well, I can
sorry
see...
to be the bearer of bad.
No. I've come to terms with the fact that my following is about 98% bot. But I'm doing something right to attract all of them. Right?
I follow you, and I'm a human. If that makes you feel any better,
you're only a human. To my knowledge, I have not actually seen you, my friend. You might be one of those quality bots that you're talking about. But seriously, why would somebody, you're talking about people spending good money, even $5 is good money, to buy bots. Why would somebody buy fake followers? Is it a way of plumping up their quote-unquote brand? I hate that word, but is a way of saying, look, my Facebook page has 1 million followers, even though they're all fake people.
You know, it's really interesting, and what's fascinating is, so some people will do it because they want to seem cool, right?
that is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Which is a pretty sad, but so here's the deal, right? So imagine that you're a we wrote a story about this about a year or two ago. There was a comedians that were having trouble getting booked for sets because they didn't have a large following. So there were certain comedians that were going and they were buying 200,000 bots, and you know you're spending a couple hundred bucks, and as a result you're getting this return on investment that says, hey. You can look like you're really popular, and then you can get booked for a show, and actually maybe possibly get paid. And so what you're seeing is, you know, with musicians and politicians and all these people, they want to seem more popular than they really are, so they'll go online and buy bots. And it can pay for itself quite quickly, but these bots aren't going to do anything. They're essentially, you know, it's essentially the best way to describe it is it's like having a birthday party, and rather than inviting people, you put cutout characters of people at the event, right? That's what these bots are. They're not doing anything. They're not furthering your, you know, no one's clicking on more links or anything like that. As a result, you just kind of look cool. But what's really fascinating is now these bots are becoming smarter. They're actually becoming somewhat scary. And so when you look at and the things going on in Syria, right, there were the in Syria and Turkey and other places where they tried to shut down Twitter recently because it was being used for protests. What you have are these bots that are being built by the governments there, and what they're doing is they're looking for instances where people are trying to organize protests in the street on Twitter, and then the bots will go and make up random places like, oh, the protest isn't here, it's over there, and they'll start retweeting that, and they'll try to get people to go to the wrong place, and they'll try to get people to go to places where there are police presence and so on, which can be pretty scary when it's used that way. Another instance that I found in my reporting was, do you know Waze, the mapping software?
I do not know that.
So Waze is a company that was bought by Google for $1 billion last year. I think every company is bought for $1 billion these days, so it's not really a big deal. But what Waze is it's a mapping software, and the way it works is it's just like Google Maps, but when you encounter an accident, you as a Waze user can go and say, hey, there's an accident on the corner of 15th Street and 3rd Avenue. And if enough people do that, Waze starts to redirect traffic because it's an intelligent software that uses human beings. So there were these two students in Israel that decided for their class project that they were going to see if they could hack Waze. And what they did was they created a bunch of fake Waze accounts, and they created fake cars that were lines of code. And they had all these cars and these Waze accounts report traffic jams on a certain street. And eventually Waze believed it and started redirecting traffic into a completely different area, even though there wasn't a single solitary car on that street.
So bots can be used for a lot of terrible things, is what we're,
correct,
what we're discovering.
Correct. Well, they're getting to that point where they can be. And so whereas in the beginning they were just used for, you know, for fun and to make it look like you were cooler than you really were, now you have governments and bad people that are figuring out how to use them in even, you know, terrible ways.
I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate, and I am talking to Nick Bilton of the New York Times about the wonderful world of bots. Nick, we were talking about the sort of pioneer days of bots, when bots just looked like sexy women in tube tops, and now they have been upgraded. They've achieved more human-like qualities. What are some of those qualities, and how sophisticated have the bots gotten?
So the bots no longer wear tube tops. They've started dressing like older teenagers, I would say.
Are they usually female, or are they predominantly female, or is that just am I stereotyping bots here?
That's a great question. There was a study that was shown a couple of years ago, a university study that found that female avatars are followed back more than male avatars. So if they're trying to get real human beings to follow them, then they're going to be female. But they mix them up these days. There are some that are female and some that are male. But what they've done is one of these guys, these hackers I spoke to for my column, said that they have written scripts that will go and they will find people's faces online, that, you know, avatars from even other sites, not just from Twitter, and then they'll figure out how to create real names. So they could say, you know, they could take Andy as the first name and then my last name, Bilton, right? So you and I just had a child together called Andy Bilton, and it's probably a female, so we should be happy. And then what it'll start to do is, before, what they did was they just tweeted random links and kind of gibberish, and what they've started to do is they've started to use kind of language processing to make it look like the bots are actually saying things. And the way they do this, which is really interesting, is they will tweet a question to someone, and they'll see how to a bunch of random people on Twitter, and they'll see how the people respond to the question. And then they can take those human responses, and then when people tweet, the question they'll ask is, they'll tweet to someone, are you a bot? And the person will be right back, no, I'm not a bot. What are you talking about? You're crazy. And so they start to collect all of those questions. So when people say to them, are you a bot, they can then recognize that was the question and go and get one of the human answers from someone who's answered them.
Do bots ever talk to each other?
They do, actually. They have conversations with each other that are set up to make it look like they're real. They tweet pictures at each other, so you'll see certain bots that will...
Selfies?
Bot
selfies?
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. Bot selfies, which are photos that they've gotten of selfies online.
Of
that
course.
They tweet each other. They tweet news to breaking news articles. They reach, you know, whenever I publish an article or a blog post or a column, there'll be, you know, 50 tweets about it instantly. And it's usually these bots that keep an eye out for my name and a script and so on, that then tweet it, and it looks like they're reading the news, although I don't know how they read that quickly.
When two bots talk to each other, I'm sort of stuck on this. When they have a conversation, how do they know when to stop? I mean, do they just – it seems to me the bots could pretty much talk forever. Am I getting too existential here, or is this a worthwhile area of inquiry?
It's a very, very valid question. I mean, I think that the code will tell them when to stop. I would imagine. It's funny. When I was looking for some of these, I did find a couple where they were going back and forth, and it was usually two or three tweets, and then they would stop. But I mean, I don't think anyone's actually going to follow anything beyond that. I don't think anyone's going to follow it. Period. But it is quite funny to see some of the responses. I mean, there was one that tweeted. The person's at the avatar of the bot was a guy who looked like he was, in his 20s with a baseball cap on, and he had tweeted a selfie, which was of a girl, so clearly it wasn't a selfie, and then another bot responded with an LOL.
Perfect.
So, all the bots are happy laughing out loud.
LOL. I've been speaking with New York Times reporter Nick Bilton about the evolution of internet bots. They're everywhere. Nick is also the lead writer of the Bits blog. Nick, thanks so much for being on the show today. I assume you're real.
I hope I am.
Good.